Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. On this episode, I'm super excited because I got to sit down and talk to Damien Fahey about Britney Spears. Damien Fahey is a very talented writer, but before he was writing, Damien was one of the hosts of TRL. And I don't know about you guys, but I loved TRL. I would not just high school. I loved TRL in college. I have a vivid memory of rushing home from a college class and going to my apartment to watch Justin Timberlake's world premiere of his video Cry Me a River, which we all know is his revenge ballad, his revenge ballad against Britney Spears. I was furious from the moment I saw it. It was just like, really, Justin, you're this shook from Britney cheating on you? Okay, yes, you are that shook from the breakup, but then answer me this. Why weren't you there for Britney in 2007 when she was going through a really hard time? That's my whole thing. If you can be so hurt to write a song in revenge and then shoot a video where you hire someone who looks exactly like Britney Spears, who looks exactly like your ex, then why wouldn't you show up for her when she was going through a really hard time later in life? Because I feel like if you need that revenge, that means you were truly in love and you were truly hurt. So therefore, years later, you get it together and you pick up the phone and you go and you be there for your childhood friend. Forget the fact that you were even lovers. You were childhood friends. You share an experience that very few have shared, that very few understand. Like, there aren't that many pop stars. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, on top of that, you dated each other. And I've got issues with him. And I'm here to hear other points of view on this. So, I please come for me. Like, let me hear it. I want to know what you guys are thinking about this. But that's just, I don't know, that's just how I feel. It was very exciting to talk about TRL and how Damien got that job. I was thinking when this album came out, I was 21, Britney was 21. Our lives, obviously, very different, very, very different. And I talked to Damien about this. I got to go to SNL. With my friend Hannah, whose dad had worked on the opening credits he had produced the opening credits for SNL that season. And so we got to go. And this was like a huge deal. I'm from a very small town. And I mean, at this point, I'm a senior in college, but like getting to go to SNL, I mean, it was like crazy. I was like freaking out. And Britney Spears was the musical guest. It was nuts. So I got to go and see Britney perform on SNL. and it was super fun. Something I don't talk to Damien about, but I had to go to the bathroom. We got to be backstage during the show, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I'm coming out of the bathroom, the women's room, and I look to my left, and Tracy Morgan is coming out of the men's room, and he was still, like, he was zipping his fly, like, he was putting himself back together as he was, like, walking out the door, you know. Do you? You know what I'm saying? But we had this really funny moment, and I'll always remember it. He was just so nice. He was great. He was just a great guy. But anyways, got to go to SNL. Well, and the whole weekend was filled with moments like that. And for me, it was one of those, it truly holds up as one of the most magical weekends of my entire life. I felt so young. I felt like I was not a girl, not yet a woman. It was like, that's exactly how I felt that weekend. I know that song's not on In the Zone, but I'm just saying we've all had those moments where you're in your adult life, those first moments when you're in your adult life, but they're new. Like that sensation is new. And you're full of potential. And it was just, it was amazing. And Brittany was a part of, that very special weekend for me. So anyways, I was just thinking about her. I'm always thinking about her. You know what? Let's talk about her. Let's talk about Brittany. Hi guys, and welcome to We Need to Talk About Britney, a podcast dedicated to the legendary pop princess Britney Spears. I'm your host, Jen Zabrowski, and today we're talking about In the Zone. I believe that this is like one of Britney's, this is kind of the end of chapter one of Britney. Like I call this the end of baby Britney. And I'm very, very excited about our guest today. Gosh. This is just bringing me back to my teen years, late teen years. I just don't know what to say, so I'm just going to get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have Damien Fahey. Hi, Damien.
Hi, I'm excited about me via your excitement.
Okay, so, great.
Yeah,
great.
Wow.
I mean, so Damien, you hosted TRL.
Yes.
You've done many things in your career. You're kind of like a Britney in the fact that I feel like you've been working forever.
I have. Yeah. Yeah. I've been working for a while. Yeah. Since I was 15, I was on the radio.
Now, where are you from? And can you like, where are you from?
From Longmeadow, Massachusetts, which is near Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Most people know Springfield. It's Western Mass.
And how did you started in radio?
Yeah, I started as a DJ at my local station in Western Massachusetts, doing overnights, midnight to 6 a.m. As a 15-year-old, and it was breaking labor laws, but my dad would drive me at like 11:30 at night to this, you know, cinder block building in the middle of a pretty sketchy part of Springfield and drop me off, and then I'd work all night until 6 in the morning. And then my dad would pick me up and drive me home because I couldn't drive because I was only 15. And that's sort of, that happened for a while. And I worked my way up through the ranks at that station and then got accepted to Northeastern in Boston and wanted to continue radio and then worked in radio in Boston. And then all of a sudden, after like 2.5 years, an MTV casting search came to the radio station and I sort of reluctantly auditioned for MTV at the basement of the radio station. And so
you weren't totally sure if it's something you wanted to do?
No, ever since I was young, I just wanted to do radio. That was my laser-like focus since I had been 13 years old. I built a little station in my room when I was 13, and I used to have friends over. We'd record shows and do prank phone calls and things like that. I would talk over songs, and that's really my main passion up until I finished the audition. I did the audition for MTV in the basement of the radio station. And then I was like, well, everything has totally changed, and now I just want to be. I want to do that, and I was lucky enough to get a bunch of callbacks and and do it.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And so were you, was it the audition to replace Carson Daly? Like, it did they know he was leaving?
I think they had told me that they wanted it was an audition for like a rock VJ. So okay. Like a rock guy.
Okay.
And I didn't really consider myself a rock guy, but I said, well, I could probably fake this and do be like a little bit more of a rock guy during my audition, I guess. And so you had to write two video intros and perform them. And then they said, then we're just going to throw you a band and you have to improvise talking before the video airs. So okay, sort of like, call it throwing to a video.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, well, they want a rock guy, so I'll do a Creed video and a POD video.
Yeah.
Everyone listening under a certain age is like, who? So they were like two. Creed was this, religious sort of rock band, Christian rock band.
I actually saw Creed in concert.
I did too.
Obviously you must have been a
You're not doing a podcast about Creed, so we know how much you enjoyed that concert. So I did those two video intros, and just something about being in front of the camera felt really awesome, and it was very fun, and I got to be kind of silly and goofy, and the people auditioning, the casting people, there were just two of them with a video camera on a tripod, and they were laughing and reacting. This is great. Oh my God, this is awesome. And then they were sort of giving me suggestions. We really like you. We're going to let you do that one. Wasn't so great, but we're going to let you do it again. And I'm like, wow, they like me. This is cool. This might actually happen. Having zero experience in show business. And now looking back, it's like, well, I've been to enough auditions where it's like, you're really good. Could we do that again? Like, that means literally nothing. Mm-hmm. Now. No. But back then I thought, it was the first time I heard it. I thought, oh, this might actually happen.
And it did.
And so the audition happened, and I remember driving my Geo Prism car back to my really crappy apartment in Boston. And I was behind a car. I drove out of the radio station, and you had to like go under this little underpass, and the car in front of me, the license plate said, 456 VJ 825, whatever it was. And I said, wow, I don't believe in signs, but that's like, I think this is kind of a sign. And so I emailed them, the casting people every single week at the same time, at the same day, asking about what was going on. I really bugged them. I was really, really tenacious about staying in touch with these people, staying on the radar. And next thing you know, I got a call back in New York, and then I got another call back in New York, and then I got a phone call one day in my parents' house in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, and on my Nokia cell phone,
nice.
All that you could drive over with a truck, because they just not like these Apple phones.
Totally would survive. Totally would survive.
Waterproof, the whole thing. And so I remember picking it up, and it was Vinny Potestivo, who was one of the casting guys at MTV. And he said, hey, this phone call never happened, but I just want to give you a heads up. In 15 minutes, Rod Asa, the head of talent, is going to be calling you and offering you the VJ job.
Oh my God.
And I'm in my parents' kitchen.
Oh my God.
Like eating, like a fucking bologna sandwich or something. And it was like, I had almost lost all vision, and I was like, holy shit. One of those moments, if you're fortunate enough to have these moments, they're really fucking cool. And they're sort of like burned into your brain where it's like, oh my God, I just remember thinking my life's going to change. This is really crazy. Wow. And so I got a phone call back from him. So Rod called me. We'd like you to come to New York, for the summer to be at the beach house as a VJ.
Start. That's amazing.
So fun. I'm like, oh my God, I remember watching the beach house. For God's sakes, I masturbated to the grind. For God's sakes, I can do this. Next thing you know, I'm in New York, and I'm just, I'm across from like the head of talent at MTV, and he sort of has this contract and he slides it across the table, like movie style. And, I just looked at it and signed it right there. Didn't like
no one else looked at it.
So green. I just signed whatever was in front of me. And it turned out to be a horrible deal. But then I re-signed with MTV a couple more times, and Carson helped me out, and he's like, this is what you want to be asking for, and you get a wardrobe allowance, and you get, you know, black cars wherever you want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool, cool.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So when you're there, where, like, who is Britney to you when you show up at TRL?
She's definitely the Baby One More Time video girl.
And what were you listening to at the time?
I was listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, mm-hmm. Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all like the whatever, like a typical white college frat-ish guy.
Yeah.
I was not a frat guy at all, but I've had frat-ish tendencies. Mm-hmm. Whatever those people would listen to, I was kind of listening to. Yeah.
And you probably got to meet a lot of these people, right?
Yeah.
Did you get to meet like Dave Matthews Band?
I did. I got to meet Dave at the radio station in Boston, and they're sort of like one of my, this is very difficult to admit because it's not a cool thing to say, but it's like, they're one of my favorite bands. I'm a drummer, so I love their drummer.
Mm, okay.
He's amazing. So,
Oh, I actually love hearing that.
I've been a fan for a while.
I just went home and doing this whole process of like kind of like reliving each album of Britney's. It's like bringing me back to high school. I saw Dave Matthews in concert so many times.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, it is high school for me. When I just went home, I was listening to Dave Matthews for the first time in at least over a decade. And I was like, oh God, this is just making me feel really good.
And those memories just come flooding back with all those songs and
all of it. It's just the absolute best.
Yeah.
Now, something that I watched this morning mm-hmm. is you walking Britney through Times Square. This is like the ultimate moment here.
This was in that moment. Yeah. So Britney had, what year was this? Was this for this album? I don't remember.
It was.
Okay. So this album came out, was released. And this is the, I believe this is the day that this album was released. She came to TRL and MTV had a deal with the city where they could shut down 44th Street. So MTV is on Broadway, 1515 Broadway, between 44th and 45th Street. It's pretty much like half a block. And so they would shut down 44th Street for big performances, really huge performances. And her album was being released, I believe, that day. And they had shut down the entire street. And they set up a stage, lights, sound system, band, the whole deal. And so I remember for some reason, because when I was so new, I mean, it was only really maybe a year into, what was it, November? Yeah, a little over a year into the job of hosting TRL with no prior television experience, by the way. So typically these big moments were given to Carson because he was so smooth with all this stuff and they, you know, could trust him not to mess up or, you know.
It's live television.
And it's live television. And so I remember in the morning meeting, they said, okay, and Damien, you know, Carson's not here today. So Damien, and it was either like me or Caduce or Lala, someone was going to be walking her down. And they said, okay, it's you, Damien. And I go, oh my God, this is crazy. So you're going to walk basically with Britney down Broadway, talking to her the whole time. And I was like, well, what am I going to say? And they're like, you just kind of, we'll give you one question and then you just kind of ad lib the rest. And I'm like, what? I can't do this.
They told you this that morning?
Yeah. And so I was freaking out and, I probably spent like the rest of the day just kind of thinking what I would say to her and then what she could possibly say to me and where I'd take that. And, you know, it's completely nervous and over preparing for a situation that it was unpreparable, that's even a word. It came showtime and I just remember it was very cold out. It was, November 12th, this came out. So that makes sense. In November, I remember wearing a very heavy winter coat and Britney was wearing, I definitely remember the pants because, good Lord, I was like, 23 years old, full of testosterone, raging testosterone. And, I walked her down and we kind of like, we talked and everything. And I'm like, this is going really well. Cool. And there's just people to the left of me and to the right of me, kids just screaming.
And she's kind of saying hi to people. Like I watched this video of this morning. And you're walking her through Times Square, and she's wearing very low-cut leather pants.
Skin tight.
Yes, skin tight.
So tight.
And a crop top and a hat.
Yeah,
like
that's
I like
right.
It's like totally bare midriff, but she's got a hat on.
Right. Yeah, right.
Don't want your head to get cold.
Yeah.
And you're just like chatting away, and she's like very casual, and then she just gets up on stage and just starts performing. It's very seamless.
Yeah, I sort of led her to a flight of stairs, a small flight of stairs, and
I believe you took her coat.
Yeah, that's right. I said, I'll take your coat, you know, and I think I said, I'm such a gentleman. And then, because I was, you know, 23, and she turned around and walked up the steps, and I believe there may have been sort of like a me sort of just like staring at her butt as she walked up the... I know it's very like, you know, we're in 2018, and you know, it was a very misogynistic maybe thing to do, but I was completely lost staring at Britney Spears' butt because those pants were so low.
Oh, and it's Britney Spears.
And it's Britney Spears.
And honestly, though, this is something that that I've been talking a lot about on this is that, you know, Britney, I believe that her passion, her intelligence, the way she connects with the world, it all lives in her physical body and the way she moves. Mm. It is like in every single song, it's like her best songs are usually when she's talking about herself dancing and moving. It's like never about a relationship. Like I don't feel
like sometimes.
Yes.
I don't
feel connected to that song. It's great, but I'm a slave for you. And she's talking about desperately wanting to be like in the club. And why won't they let her in just because she's not old enough? All she wants, she just wants to dance.
Right.
It's like that is Britney.
So, to look
at Britney Spears's butt, it's like
I think it's okay. Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
We are on the same.
Okay, good.
We are on the same
okay,
page.
Good.
I would have looked at her butt too.
Oh my God, that makes me feel so much better. Okay, good. Okay.
And I think Britney's on board with it as well.
I think I may have said something because I was sort of a smartass when I was in my 20s, but I may have said, looking good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Britney, you know, and then she did her thing. And it was so funny, you know, she's, I didn't spend too much time beforehand with her. And then walking with her was fine. And then the second she got up on the stage and like it was something had taken over her. Like you see that with a lot of performers where they just get on stage and it's like they just go into this sort of mode. And that's what she did. And she was... Sort of went from being like, oh, this hot girl to like, oh my God, this is like a charismatic, like, you know, show business machine. And she just went into this dance routine with her dancers and everything. And it was amazing. I mean, it was really awesome.
I wonder now if watching her walk through Times Square and she was very relaxed. That's something that really struck me is that, you know, there's a piece of that, that I feel is missing now, but I mean, I say that also with great empathy and, you know, a lot of the time when I went to the Vegas show and I met her, I walked away feeling like, I'm responsible for that. Like that piece of her not being there. I'm like, I'm a part of the problem. I walked out and it was for my bachelorette party and I looked at all my girlfriends and I was like, we did that.
Well, but the thing is, if you knew back then that she would end up, you know, sort of the, and she's not in bad condition right now by any means. I mean, she's got a very successful Vegas show and from what I've heard, people have been to it. They really enjoy it. You know,
it's amazing. And it's amazing. She's amazing. Also, to just be able to have the stamina to do the show that she did for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just, it's unreal. Mm-hmm. Like she is just an absolute, like you were saying, machine. Like the fact that she can just walk through a crowd and then automatically get on stage and just totally just crush it and just transform and not to have to even, she didn't even get a beat. She just was like in it.
She just knew exactly what to do, where to be.
I mean, I feel like now I've settled in, Damien. I was really excited, and thank you so much for being here.
Of course,
but I was really—I'm just so excited because you know TRL was such a big part of my life, and I love enthusiasm, and so I think that's why I've always loved pop stars in general, because it's just like, oh my gosh, we're all going to be enthusiastic about this one person.
There's really nothing worse than an unenthusiastic musician, like, or rock star, or, you know,
it's the pits, right? I mean,
yeah, it just feels like there's so many indie bands who just get up there and they're like sad and just sing their songs. And it's like, give us a show, you know? I don't know. To go off on a separate tangent, I feel like that's really missing in music right now is the showmanship. There's no stars. There's no, you know, like aside from like a Bruno Mars who's been, but he's been doing it since he was three, you know? So it's like these Michael Jackson, Madonna, you know, Beyonce is one of them.
Oh,
I think
Beyonce is the best. You know how much I just loved at the Grammys when Bruno Mars was saying, he was like, I want to make music that gets families up and dancing.
Yeah.
When he was talking about that,
yeah,
I just had it was like a single tear moment.
I'm
like, yes, let's just have fun.
Yes. And I think now more than ever, especially with this, with Trump and everything, the way the state of our every notification on your phone is like is bad news. I think there's a huge turn right now toward positive shit and uplifting stuff. And my wife and I just burned through all the episodes of Queer Eye on Netflix because I watched the first one. And I was like, holy shit. It made me realize that every television show is dark and depressing. And this was like the first uplifting positive show I've seen in maybe like 5 years.
Yes.
And I was like, I just want to consume more of this immediately. So,
yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh.
So, but this was such a simpler time, like 2003.
Oh.
Which is crazy because 9/11 had happened, but doesn't it feel sort of like
more like we still had our innocence.
Yeah.
So when this came out, I like to say that this is the end of baby Britney, and then I call it breakdown Britney, and then I call it and then I sometimes say like breakthrough Britney or like reborn Britney.
I like that.
That is the third chapter, and I think this was like the end of baby Britney.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the track list in front of us for In the Zone.
Great.
And I love this album. Britney personally, so she had broken up. She and Justin had called it quits.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was having like some family stuff. And I think her parents were getting divorced and her aunt had passed away. So this was kind of like all brewing inside of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes on her tour for In the Zone. And that's when she meets Kevin Federline.
Is that when it happened?
Yes. Okay. So the album, okay. She didn't even know Kevin Federline the day you walked her through Times Square. She didn't, she hadn't met him yet,
mm-hmm.
but she's like about to. And then on that tour, she brings him along, and then she even ends the tour early, and then that's like kind of the beginning of the end or the beginning of the new beginning of Britney and
right.
Kevin and like not wearing shoes and going to the bathroom in gas stations and things like that.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to boll&branch.com today Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So, like, when this came out, wait, were you at the MTV Video Music Awards?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the second I got this email and it was about In the Zone, I'm like, oh, I was there. I was like, I thought, oh, my God, yeah, I was absolutely.
And the Madonna kiss?
I was 12 rows away from the Madonna kiss. I brought my mom to the VMAs. And yeah. I'll tell you, man, it was a little awkward watching Britney Spears kiss Madonna with my mom next to me. I didn't know how to feel exactly, but it was it was really wild. You were just like, oh, this is one of those awesome VMA moments.
Totally. And you're a part of it. Like, what happens like behind the scenes?
Yeah.
What's everyone talking about at MTV? Like, you guys are you're the space station. You're like the.
Yeah.
You know,
the hub. Yeah. After that, that was all anyone was talking about was that kiss. That was such a big deal. And so the next day on TRL, we played it and replayed it and replayed, you know, and we got commentary and everything and, you know, kind of ran. I mean, I don't remember exactly what we did, but.
Was anyone like, poor Christina? No one cares that much. Oh,
that's interesting. I'm sure someone had that take. Yeah. Where it's like Christina was left out. To like, you know,
it's like she kissed her too, but no one really played that. It wasn't tape, and no one really talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. But it was just such a huge deal, and that was sort of, you know, leaving the VMAs that night is really everyone was just talking about that moment.
I remember when I first moved out to LA. So this was okay. So this was like it was like a year later, mm-hmm. but I remember I. got invited to the MTV Movie Awards, and I got to go to the after party, or like an after party, and it was in the penthouse of the Chateau Marmont. It was my first time going, and I saw you there. And
oh,
I was
like, my God.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, that's
Holy
Damien.
Shit. You were there?
Yes, I was there. And that was
And Justin Timberlake danced?
Yes.
Holy
yes.
shit.
Yes, I was there.
This is incredible.
Yes, I was there. And I you saw were there. You, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, there are TRL hosts here.
It's
this
so
is
funny
amazing.
I was there going, holy shit, I'm in a room with Justin Timberlake. And like, who else was there? There were a bunch of big stars.
Yes, I remember.
Lindsay Lohan was there.
Ava Mendez was there. I remember she had this red dress on and hoop earrings, and she was smoking, and she just was like, looked so cool.
Yeah.
It was like so lame to be like, she was smoking cigarettes. And
right.
It was so cool.
Right.
But she did. She just looked so cool. And
oh
Kate
God.
Hudson was there, and she was talking to Owen Wilson. And I was just like,
that's right. On the balcony.
Yes.
That's so crazy. And I think maybe Vince Vaughn might've been there too.
Yeah.
It was just that room. I can't believe that. That's so cool that you were there too.
And that was my first Hollywood party.
Really?
Was like,
well, that's a hell of a way to go in.
Yeah. And I think I was wearing like a sundress and like flip flops.
That's
it was not.
Amazing.
It was very last minute. And I just was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Crazy.
I can talk to someone about this party. Because it was just literally me and my friend Brian, who we've kind of talked about it, you know, to death. But it's like, yeah, I totally forgot about some of those people who were there. It was a really wild. And I, you know, with having this job, you would just sort of find yourself in these crazy situations where it's like, oh, okay, well, Justin Timberlake just danced in front of, you know, a room full of celebrities at the penthouse of the Chateau, you know, or, you know, there's Dave Grohl, you know, on the side of the stage, and we're watching Tom Petty perform, you know, just sort of these crazy moments.
That's amazing. That,
yeah, yeah.
I think at this time, I mean, you're having a very different experience than I am, because you're working in this environment, and like I'm at this point just about to graduate from college, and in 2003, and I get it was for In the Zone. My friend Hannah, she called me and she's like, "Do you want to go to New York City and go to SNL?" And
wow.
I was like, what? I mean, already just that.
Wow.
I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, my dad, it was like she was the one friend at Emerson where it's like her parents worked in the entertainment industry. And you're
right.
Like, wow, like I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. And and her dad had produced the like the opening credits or something, and she was like, we can go to SNL and we can go backstage.
Whoa.
And Jen, it's getting so much better because Britney Spears is the musical guest.
No way.
And
wow.
You
must have lost your shit.
I lost my mind. We took the bus down from Boston to New York.
Oh, man. The only person who's ever enjoyed a bus ride, the Fung Wah bus.
Oh, from, I was having the time of my
From Boston
life.
To New York.
Having the time of my life. And we get there and got to go backstage. And
wow.
And, I mean, that was crazy. I mean, that was just so, so crazy. Watching like Tina Fey walk by in her little sneakers and like before she was going to go do Weekend Update and all of this and that. And but then they were like, do you want it? You can go down to like on the floor when Britney sings, like when she does her second number, you can go down on the floor and watch. And I got to go down and see her sing every time. And it was, I mean, I was devastated over the breakup of Britney and Justin. And I got to watch her perform that beautiful, I mean, I guess that is the one song, I take it back, about a relationship.
It's not about dancing. Yeah,
it's not about dancing that I feel very connected to.
Right.
And it was a magical moment for
That's
me.
Amazing.
I just like will never forget that.
No.
But then I almost got in a fight with a woman in the bathroom at the after party. Britney didn't go. She didn't go to the after party. And there was a woman in the bathroom, and she started talking about how Britney needed to lose weight.
Oh my God.
And okay, what? Think about this now, like especially, like no one has any time for any of that nonsense.
No.
But in 2003, this one was like, she'll realize, she's been going through a lot. She'll know when she needs to take care of that. It was something like that.
Oh my God.
And I went ballistic on this woman in the bathroom.
Good for you. What did you say?
I was kind of like a blackout moment.
Yeah.
And I tend to do that when I get like really emotional. I'm working on
right.
it. So at 21, it was really rough, but it was like I'm from upstate New York and like I just, there's just something that happens to me where
you went all Albany.
Yeah.
On
like, yeah, yeah. Like I have like meatballs in my pocket. I'm like, I'm ready to throw down. But
I let her
have it. And my friend Hannah was like, we need to excuse ourselves.
Good for you.
But
good
I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, she was in incredible.
Well, we just talked about
you
her.
Don't say that, you know, despite what she looks like, but she was in incredible shape then. I mean,
amazing,
like pretty much a six pack.
Amazing shape.
Yeah.
She's incredible. She is so ripped. You know who else is a good looking woman? Just want to take a moment.
Yeah.
Your wife is a beautiful, beautiful woman.
I noticed that. I had a quick dinner with her tonight, and there were a few moments where I go, God, she really is gorgeous.
She's a stunning woman.
I'll tell her. I'll pass it along,
ladies and gentlemen. Damian's wife is Gracie Mercedes, and she is, look her up. She's a talented actress. She's a fashion blogger. She's amazing.
She's great, yeah.
Okay, so enough about your wonderful wife. Let's get back to Britney. I want to just, like, go through some of these songs.
Okay, yeah.
I
listened to the album, by the way.
You did?
Well, not every song all the way through, but
you just
there were a few where I was like, I get the idea of this one.
You just, like, touched down.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
I like that. Well... Some of the, okay, just the singles.
Okay.
Me Against the Music.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic.
Yes.
Outrageous and Every Time.
Right.
Outrageous was the last single to be released off of this album.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a time when Britney, during the filming of the music video, was with Snoop Dogg and they were like playing basketball and she like jumps up on him and they like make out, but
oh my
she's
God,
dressed like she
this.
Has these like low slung basketball shorts on. And well, I think you might not remember it because I don't even know if they released it because she injured herself on set.
Yeah, I don't remember this being... I remember Every Time. I remember Toxic and Me Against the Music, obviously, because that's had Madonna in it. But Outrageous...
Oh, wait, and this is when you were at TRL, so you're... Who am I? I forgot who I was talking to. So you're, like, introducing these videos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I remember all of them. I don't remember Outrageous, though.
Yeah, it's a good song. I like it. She talks about, like, going out and she's wearing a trench coat and her underwear and nothing else, and
oh wow,
she's a superstar. And yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah,
this album is fantastic.
It's great. Toxic really is the standout for me. I looked up the producer too when I was listening to it. I've never heard of Bloodshy and Avant. I don't know, but that is such an iconic, beat, I guess. But it's, with that.
Baby, can't you see? I'm calling. A guy like you should wear.
Like, whoever came up with that is, like...
Winner.
Kind of a genius.
Oh, my gosh. Such a genius. In so many Britney songs, we talk about, like, the sounds.
Yeah.
She's got the best sounds in the biz.
She does have the best sounds in the biz. I was listening to this album, and there were a few, like, I think it was the one with the Yin Yang Twins, where I hit play, and it was sort of like, oh, shit. Like, this sounds like 2003. And I forget that, like, music... Like, I don't know. I think at some point in my life, I was just like, this sounded very contemporary to me and very current. And then to hear that again today was like, wow, no, 2003 is a long time ago. And this sounds kind of very dated, like the beat.
Yes.
Which is a little weird.
And the Yin Yang Twins, they were in Times Square that fateful night. So they came out.
They did come out?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they came out and performed that song.
Oh.
Maybe that's also why maybe you didn't even know you were like connecting that. You're like,
maybe
they were up in your
it's like a weird
in your brain and
Britney
like,
Spears therapy session.
Let's our time is up. That, Damien.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, the Yin Yang twins were in Times Square. That's yeah. I love I Got That Boom Boom.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And also she in Early Morning. That song is like it never really picks up, and it's I love that song because it's like it sounds like she's coming down off of like a hard night out.
Early morning. All right, I was a little late last night. Got a little messy.
And Breathe On Me, too, I thought was kind of interesting. Just the title, I was like, that's a really gross title.
Yeah. Because
no one ever wants anyone to breathe on them. Like, especially if you're like at line at Starbucks or something. It's like, get the fuck back.
But even think, like, no one wants anyone to breathe on them.
Right. It's kind of gross.
I mean, she has a masturbation song on this album.
Which is?
Which is
Touch of My Hand.
Touch of My Hand.
Right.
Touch of My Hand. And I listened to that today and I was like, you know, this is an educational song. I think that Planned Parenthood, this should be like a theme song of theirs.
Do we have lyrics for this at all that we could?
Yeah, let's
pull up.
Rachel's going to pull up.
Let's read some lyrics of this song here.
Of Touch of My
Hand. I'm trying to think of the great masturbation songs. You've got She Bop from Cyndi Lauper. I Touch Myself by the Divinyls, yeah. Right?
Oh, well, that's a classic.
That's a classic.
That one, that you can, that's the tough one to top.
Yeah.
Okay, so here are some lyrics of Touch of My Hand.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not ashamed of the things that I dream. I find myself flirting with the verge of obscene. Into the unknown, I will be bold. I'm going to places I can be out of control.
Oh, okay.
So she's just like...
She's like, you know what? I'm going to fucking just do this. I don't care.
I'm just going to go to different places. I'm not going to be ashamed of this.
I'm having some fantasies.
I'm having fantasies. It's okay. I don't want to explain tonight all the things I've tried to hide. I shut myself out from the world so I can draw the blinds. And I'll teach myself to fly.
Wow. She's getting into it.
Now,
wow.
Come on.
Good
like
Lord.
It. I like it.
And that's such a, like.
And here we go.
It's not my process. typically for guys, it's a lot cruder.
Everyone's got their way. And so, but then she says, I love myself. It's not a sin.
Wow.
I can't control what's happening.
Wow.
I like that. She loves herself.
Yeah. And she's not going to apologize for it.
No, it's not a sin. She, a good Christian girl, she's like, you know what? I disagree. It's not a sin. I'm just with myself. And, oh, wait, there was one thing. I remember one lyric. She talks about how she, like, she's noticing things about herself and how beautiful she is.
That's great.
Body confident. Because I just discovered imagination's taking over. Another day without a lover. The more I come to understand the touch of my hand.
Wow. And there you have it.
I think.
Unbelievable.
I think that Brittany is like, I don't need a man. And again, anytime she talks about her connection with her physical self, it's her best work.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I agree.
And I normally don't really enjoy remixes. I don't know if you kind of, if you checked out Me Against the Music, Rishi Rich's
Desi Kucha remix.
It's fantastic. Can't pronounce
it,
but
I did check. I didn't listen to that.
Honestly, next time.
Is it better than the original? Than the track one?
Dare I say yes.
Wow.
It's totally different. It gives you something
different.
Well, it's
funny because I listened to the first track, which is Me Against Music, and I was like, this sounds different to me. I don't know if I did hear that. Maybe I did hear the remix. I'm more used to it.
Next time you and Gracie are getting ready to go out, put on the remix.
The Rishi Rich's Desi Kucha remix.
Make yourself a cocktail. Put that on, and you guys will be like, "Let's call the Uber."
Right.
We're ready to go.
I love it. We will.
And I also really enjoy Brave New Girl.
Brave New Girl.
It's just fun. It's upbeat, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like not at all what she was going through at the time.
Right.
But I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's fine. Producers Brian and Josh. You've
great
got Bloodshine Avant. You've got Trickster. You've got, Rishi Rich, all these cool names. And then you just have Brian and Josh, sounds like a YouTube show with very little views.
Very few views. Yeah, I love this album.
Yeah, it's a good album. I'm also kind of surprised how many tracks there are because there's 15 total, right? There's a couple bonus tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And now bonus tracks, were those like the hidden tracks or no?
Only if you... Well, now I'm going to that can't be right because I was going to say only if you buy the CD do you get the bonus tracks.
But
I don't think could you even get an album any other way in 2003?
I think there was a lot of piracy going on because I remember in college I was on Napster a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was probably the beginning of the piracy.
Oh, wait, you went to Northeastern.
Yeah. I know.
The star? Do you know him?
No. He was gone by the time I got there. But Sean Fanning, I think is his name.
Okay.
But I remember being in a dorm room, being like, someone showed me, like, you just download any song you want on your computer, and I'm like, what the hell is that? He's like, oh yeah, some guy from Northeastern here, he invented it. You know, I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then you spent the next 2 or 3 years while it was still legal downloading
just like
songs,
all the music
of varying quality. Yeah.
Until Metallica.
Right.
Metallica,
that's right. Yeah.
Like put an end to it.
Yeah.
This album is so great. And this is when the In the Zone tour, this tour is when she wore my favorite costume that Britney has ever worn in a live performance.
Oh, what is it?
It is a full black like cat suit.
Uh-huh.
And she and it's like it covers her whole body except like it's a push-up bra type uh-huh. thing, and then she put like sparkles and like not a tattoo but like designs of on her chest.
Oh, okay.
And her hair was just down and it would blow in the wind. And in one number, I can't remember what it is, but she's like wearing a cape, a black cape. And it's like,
wow, I don't remember this at all.
Behind her. I'm really into her tours. I have a desire. I don't know the people to talk to, but I would love it if I could have every single Britney Spears tour.
Yeah.
On DVD.
Oh, that'd be good.
That'd be so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, how I feel about like Tom Petty. I wish I had a really professional DVD of every time of a great show.
Yes.
In some certain city. That'd be great.
Because it's like, it's also, a lot of times we have recordings of great live performances.
Yeah.
But Britney is an entertainer
yeah.
where it's visual. Like we need to see her move.
So, and like, did she ever really sing live?
Not that much.
Right. She's kind of like...
in and out.
Yeah, in and out. Right. A lot of track and then a little bit of her on top probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that she's absolutely a visual, you know, performer.
Yeah, you've got to see the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, Damien, how long were you at TRL for?
From 2002 to 2009, yeah.
Wow, in New York. And then did you move to L.A.?
Yes, moved to L.A. after TRL had ended. Like in 2009, I moved to L.A. with Gracie.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice. And did she work?
Yeah, she was a producer. I met her in 2002 when I started there. She was a producer at MTV. And then in 2004, we had hung out a couple times. And then in 2004, she was a great producer at MTV. She was like on the fast track. People were like, you know, do you want to be one of the producers on TRL? Be really well respected and super really good at producing. And she said, you know what? I don't think I want to do this anymore. And so she moved to LA for acting. So yeah, so moved out here in 2009.
That is amazing. Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you for giving me so many great moments.
Of course.
I asked you this when I first saw you tonight, but I remember rushing back from, I was in college, and I rushed home to watch the Justin Timberlake Cry Me a River music video.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So you would have, so you were definitely, I bet you might have even introed it.
I think I probably did. Yeah, that was like the sort of dark, watery, bluish tone video.
With a Britney lookalike.
Oh, that's right. That was, oh my God, yeah.
Break up.
Then I think we spent some time talking to, some 13-year-old kids about that.
Oh, I mean, well, I wasn't even 13 at the time.
They were very invested in that. Yeah, that was very controversial.
I mean, even now, still to this day, one day I will have words. I will take those meatballs out of my pockets and throw them at Justin Timberlake.
I love it. As you should.
Damien, thank you so much for being
thank you.
Here
Thanks
and
for
talking
me.
About Britney Spears.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You're the best. All awesome. Right. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Campfire.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.